Today in our hot seat, we have Josh Gold, CEO of The Big Word. Hello, Josh. Good to have you here.
Nice to hang out with you, Inga and Sarah.
Nice to have you here, Josh. And are you ready? Shall we do this?
I'm ready. I'm feeling the heat. It's 90 degrees, 30 degrees Celsius outside.
Welcome to C-Suite Hot Seat, the show where we put C-level executives from language service providers of all sizes in the hot seat. We will ask tough questions and get inspired answers. Our hosts today are NIMSY's Inga Boonen, VP of Consulting, and Sarah Hickey, VP of Research.
So Josh, in one sentence, tell us, what does your company do?
In a short sentence, I can tell you we are building the de facto multilingual communication tool of the future. We are reinventing the wheel of the translation and interpreting business by developing a unified platform to bring on-demand services and great ROI to our client base.
What is the first career you dreamed of having as a kid? Do you remember?
Yeah, of course I remember. I mean, until I was 16, there was no way that I wasn't going to be a rugby player. You know, I didn't even bother with school because, you know, you didn't need to. Rugby player was pretty much up until 16, but it turned out that I wasn't very good at rugby, or certainly not good enough at that level. So I had to find something else to do.
When you're not working, how do you like to spend your time?
Yeah, rugby, and I love all sports. But actually, one of my biggest loves, and I developed this love during the COVID crisis or pandemic, because I think all CEOs, and really everyone, not just CEOs, all leaders and, you know, need a way to get away. And when you're in a leadership position, you are under the microscope all the time by your own team, by your own shareholders, your stakeholders, your clients. And I could go on a boat, and I live just next to New York Harbor, and I can go into the ocean on my 30-foot boat and be totally insignificant. And that's what I love doing. Other than that, I'm very sociable. Work is just an extension of being sociable for me. And I spend a lot, you know, I'm the type of person that is hanging out with friends 5-6 nights a week.
What's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
Oh, I don't know if it's the best. It's one of my favorites, and I'm probably going to butcher this, but I think it's Thomas Edison that said, I haven't failed. I've just found 10,000 ways it doesn't work. And I think that's so important in the digital transformation that the industry is going through. I'm an avocado eating millennial. You know, I come from that school of fail often and fail fast. And actually, I found that success takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of failures. And therefore, it's not really good advice. Yes, fail often, that bit's good, but take time, continually try to succeed. I think that Thomas Edison quote is very relevant to our industry, where the first 100 times often we will fail and it won't hit the spot with clients, and it keeps taking time. And that's what we do at The Big Word. We spend a lot of time trying to figure out solutions to problems that are really difficult.
So now I feel like we got to know you a little bit better, but I don't think these were actually tough questions yet, right, Inge?
No, I wouldn't say, Sarah. So Sarah, take it away.
I'm going to ease you into these. We'll start out with a little bit simpler, kind of at the beginning. And that is, what inspired you to start your company? Or I know in this case, it wasn't particularly you who founded it, but maybe you can tell us a little bit.
Sure. Well, my father, who started the company, would be delighted that you've given me an opportunity to tell everyone. He's written a whole book on this called The Making of Mr. Irresistible. It's available on Amazon. I think that if I give you a more personalized answer of why I decided to come in when we were, you know, less than a tenth of the size we are, and really spend my entire career building the business. And that is really the mission. I'm mission driven. In fact, the whole Big Word Group is incredibly mission driven. And if you think about what we do as an industry, we're eradicating that final barrier of trade. You can't really be a successful human these days if you can't communicate. Mm-hmm. And the reality is most of us can't communicate outside of our own language. Or, you know, I'm sure this audience probably can do one or two more. But if you're like me and you're completely lousy at language, you know, you need companies like The Big Word. And for me, this was, you know, it is inspirational. Every single day you get up and you do something, I turn on the news and we've been a part of that, or I turn my car engine on and I know that we were part of building this car. And we've actually estimated that every single day, over half the entire global population interacts with a product that The Big Word had a hand in.
And then made you choose the vertical that you guys operate in? I mean, I know you're really big in the public sector in the UK, and you're also in the defense industry and in a bunch of other verticals. But what was the reason why you went into those?
Ultimately, we're building our WordSync platform. And our WordSync platform is really thousands of different automated workflows with nested TMs and machine translation built in and on-demand interpreting services. And it's very agnostic of what vertical it targets. We are well known, as you say, in the government vertical. And we targeted that because the deals are big and you know, it's typically easier to sell a bigger deal than it is to sell, you know, lots of small ones. However, we're really strong in the tech vertical. We've got an amazing roster of clients in that. We're really strong in the retail and e-commerce verticals as well. And, you know, in the life science, we have a business there that's good and growing. Healthcare. So we really cross a lot of verticals, and we don't really look at a vertical per se. We look at what the end result is that vertical is trying to achieve, and then we build products based on that.
We talked about failure. You said there's no such thing as failure. You just learned, you know, 100,000 ways that something didn't work. But speaking from your own personal experience, what was your biggest failure and what did you learn from it?
You know, it's a good question, and I know the good answer is to give a really big failure and what you've learned, but I actually don't think we had a major failure. I think I fail so frequently and then rework that you really don't, and I think it's a good time for me to stress the point to those listening that, you know, I forget who says it. It was a motivational speaker, and he's talking about a chess game, and he says, He said that his son said, you know, Dad, let's play until I win. And I that's been the way I've seen business and life in general. Just keep going until you win. And as long as you're not going to give up, you eventually will win. And I think that that's the secret to success in all businesses, in all industries. You may have to reinvent yourself five times over. You may have to change course. But eventually you will succeed. The reason why most businesses fail is not lack of money, it's not lack of market, it's not, you know, a poor product. It's that the people behind them give up too quickly. And sometimes that's choice and sometimes it's not.
And what kind of advice would you give to people maybe in a situation that, you know, people, maybe young entrepreneurs in the industry who are just starting out and maybe they're struggling to, you know, get going, and, you know, like you said, they're having maybe one failure after the next one and they're kind of getting tired of trying. What kind of, is there something more specific that you would advise for them to do?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're in the workflow business. You know, sometimes it's a human translator, sometimes it's a post editor, sometimes it's an interpreter, but ultimately they're nearly all always freelancers, and they're the ones that are in the language business. We're in the workflow business. You know, so my advice is, if you're coming into the industry at this point, don't try and compete with the other 10,000 agencies. You know, they're pretty good at what they do. They're well established. Build a workflow that either no one's doing or that people are having problems with, and get really good at that one workflow. And then adapt that workflow to a second workflow. And that's what the WordSync platform is. It's over 5,000 workflows driven by artificial intelligence and machine learning. And I think there's room for, there's certainly room for competition. Competition grows industry. So, you know, I hope that there's someone listening that's going to have this Yahoo moment that says, I've got that great workflow. I'm going to go and build it in my bedroom. We're more nervous of those people than the bigger company.
Has there been anything in your company where you, in hindsight, said, well, this was a big waste of time?
You know, businesses have a lot of waste. And I think that if we're all being honest with ourselves, we don't win the majority of RFPs, proposals, and bids that we put out. Our win rate at the big word is about 28% this month. So, yeah, I mean, you could say that the majority of time, we operate a process where RFPs are not just a sales process, they're an operations, they're a technology process. Mm-hmm. So if you are doing it right, you are wasting the majority of your time, but you're not really wasting it. What you're doing is you're learning and you're improving and you're getting better. And we talk about dialing in. And I don't know if there's any fans listening of Formula One, but Formula One do this in a really good way. And even if you're not a fan, I can explain it. They run their cars in practice. They're all pretty close. And that's the language service industry, by the way. You know, there's really good companies out there and they're all pretty close. But what you've got to do is continuously dial yourself in. And that requires what can be seen on the face of it as a waste of time, but really it is a learning experience.
So aside from profitability, you know, being the CEO, what are the three main things that you spend your time on?
All right. Now you said that, I probably should be spending way more time on profitability. I have to say, you know, you think about profitability before you meet your shareholders and before you're putting together your reports. But really, you know, myself, I spend no time on it. What I do spend my time on doing is cultivating strategic relationships with clients, with partners, with linguists. One thing that I think that I spend probably more time on doing than the average person is thinking. Mm-hmm. I have at least 3 hours a day in my schedule where I don't have any meetings. And this was something when I became CEO of the big word that I insisted that we did as a whole C-suite, because you need time to think about it. You know, we're in a creative industry.
Yeah.
This stuff doesn't invent itself. I mean, there was people who sat in a room once upon a time in a university who invented machine translation. Same in Trados with translation memory. So we need that thinking time. And it isn't, I'm not sat in a room by myself. I'm calling people up and saying, hey, what do you think about this idea? And we spend a lot of time thinking, and that's probably a much bigger amount of investment than anything else.
Yeah, I would totally agree. I actually recently just saw a video where somebody said the title should be renamed to CVO, Chief Vision Officer. And
yeah, I
really like that. Yeah. So it describes the position much better, or it should be like that anyway, let's say. I've heard you talk about innovation a lot in past conversations we've had and also today a little bit. What was the most innovative thing that you have ever done? So maybe aside from the big word as a company, but you personally.
Every type of wheel has ever been built. And you now have to, regardless of what you do and regardless of what industry you're in, you have to reinvent the wheel. And I know that's looked down upon in society, but what we say at the big word is, let's imagine a car that has no wheels. We can get rid of all the friction. We can deliver something quicker. We can, you know, so the turnaround times will be quicker. So the most innovative thing that I've actually done is mentor, coach, and encourage other people to think this way when they've been told completely different. Don't reinvent the wheel, you know.
Yeah.
Make a better car that sits on top of it. And I spend my days doing this and talking about it within the big word, but also without the big word. I'm a export champion for the Department of International Trade, which is part of the UK government. So it's not, I don't think I've done anything on my own ever that's been that spectacular, but I've been part of teams that have done, you know, world-changing things.
Thank you so much, Josh. And thank you for joining us in the hot seat. I hope you didn't sweat too much.
I am married to someone from the Middle East, and the AC doesn't go on.
Oh.
It's like 95, and we're only at 90. So yeah, I've been sweating now, you know, with more questions than the heat. And I'm English, you know, we don't get over 70 degrees normally.
If anyone else feels like letting off some steam as well, and you're part of the C-suite at a company in the language services industry, sign up with us if you dare to take the hot seat.
Thank you for watching, and look out for the next episode that will be published as a video on Multilingual TV and as a podcast on the NIMSY website. See ya.